This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
It may come as a surprise, but our future president, Donald J. Trump, has created a new White House role for AI and crypto. He has the new AI and crypto czar appointed. He says it's an important role, and David O. Sachs is going to guide for the policy of the administration in artificial intelligence and cryptocurrency, two areas critical to the future of American competitiveness, says Donald Trump. David will focus on making America the great and clear leader in both areas, and he will safeguard free speech online and steer us away from the big tech bias and censorship. Trump said that David has the knowledge, business experience, intelligence, and pragmatism to make America great in these two critical technologies. Congratulations. Well, we give him congratulations, and indeed, he's going to be dealing with an area of the world, an area of thought that, quite frankly, is somewhat remote to yours truly. I am more concerned about actual intelligence than artificial intelligence, and I'm trying to hold on to all that I can at my age. Artificial intelligence and the mind of God, though, says Dr. Michael Brown, is really something fascinating. He's a friend of this program, and he says the very essence of omniscience is literally the state of knowing everything. And he said, we know that we can ask our AI bot a complex question in almost any language, and we get a virtually instant, detailed response. AI has to be checked because it can be unreliable, he said, but when it's accurate, it is stunning. He said, since my PhD was in Near Eastern languages and literature, with a focus on ancient languages, I have enjoyed asking Claude, my frequently used AI bot, some very technical Semitic language questions. Then I've asked Claude to translate his answer into another ancient dialect, and voila, a second later, there it is, and I'm always incredibly impressed. The knowledge, he said, base of these AI bots is incomprehensibly large, their ability to flow from language to language absolutely stunning, and their speed is respondingly truly breathtaking, he said. What's more, 1 million of us could ask 1 million questions to the same AI bot at the same time, and we could get a personalized answer, an instant answer. How much more, then, does this apply to the mind of God? Well, apparently, he's not the only one thinking in those terms, because Mark Zuckerberg, the Meta CEO, now claimed this week that artificial intelligence companies are trying to create God or something, he said. But he said his company is different. He said, I find it a big turnoff when people in the tech industry kind of talk about building this one true AI. It's almost as if they think they're creating God or something. He said, we're not doing that with our company and our goals. However, according to the publication The Sun, during a 40-minute interview, Zuckerberg made no serious attempt to address the ethical concerns surrounding the technology, such as loss of jobs, privacy, and misinformation. In a study conducted by German AI ethicist Thilo Hagendorf from the University of Stuttgart, large language AI models exhibiting overwhelmed maladaptive behavior and Machiavellianism. GPT-4, he said, for instance, exhibits deceptive behavior in simple test scenarios 99%+ of the time. In another study published in Patterns, researchers found that Meta's LLM also exhibited Machiavellian tendencies. Well, welcome to AI bot Machiavellian world. Today on Viewpoint, we're going to be talking about this matter of AI with particular focus on the United States, China, and the race to control a smart planet. Our special guest, long left Wales in the UK, in Southern California or Central California. His name is Handel Jones, and he has written a book, When AI Rules the World. Certainly grabbed my attention, Handel, and it's good to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Well, when you talk about ruling the world, that gets my attention because, in effect, The forces of our country, of our world, actually are moving inexorably toward some effort to try to create a one-world government, a one-world order. And you wonder where AI plays in that role. Your discussion is not so much about all of that, but about China and the U.S. But where do you see AI playing in this effort to kind of rule the world globally?
So what is really AI? So when we look at society, we had basically machine power. So maybe 200 years ago, basically, you know, people couldn't imagine that you would have a plane flying at, you know, 500,000 miles an hour.
Right.
Cars, the transportation. So the muscle power has changed society by allowing people to do things that they couldn't do with their own muscle power.
Uh-huh.
AI will have the same kind of leverage on brain power in the future that we've had from the machine muscle power.
Uh-huh.
So where will this take us? So obviously today, AI is mainly in data centers. So we see, you know, better analysis of in the pharmaceutical field. We see basically analysis of data in terms of potentially weather and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So today is analysis of data. We have the beginning of AI at the edge. What that means is that the better picture taking capabilities on smartphones, you know, we're seeing the beginning of autonomous transportation. But in terms of my interest, or another part of my interest, is how does having a digital assistant that has significantly higher power in terms of analyzing data do to humans? And what kind of skill sets do humans then need? And if you have the incredible ability to manage data, can you also manage emotions?
Mm.
Can you control people? So where is this going to take us in the next, you know, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years?
Well, it's interesting because I wrote a book recently in which I talked about the technological god that's being created. And a fellow by the name of Kurzweil came up with this idea of the singularity. I wonder if this is what they're thinking, it seems, is that our increasing ability through data and so on to increase thought, increase our ability, goes beyond human ability, virtually creating gods in our own image.
Yeah, I don't know. The word God is basically involves, you know, beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
But AI is really data-centric. And the ability to analyze a lot of data.
Uh-huh.
So if you have the right input, you can then hopefully improve the decision processes.
Wow. We'll talk more about that when we get back from this break. Friends, this is going to be fascinating. I hope you'll stay tuned. When AI Rules the World, and Del Jones joining us.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Crismire, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Today we delve into the deep subject of AI, artificial intelligence. The title of our guest book, When AI, Artificial Intelligence Rules the World. Now that's a very powerful statement. It also is one that grabs our attention because world rulership actually is the goal of so many efforts, countries and groups of countries out there. We've talked about that. so many times here on this program. But what we have not talked about much is the area of AI, partly because yours truly is a virtual ignoramus when it comes to AI. Perhaps what I need is a private AI bot. What do you say, Randell?
Well, you know, again, with AI, what comes out is based on what goes in.
Right.
So, in terms of how to communicate with a bot today, the bandwidth is very limited. But, you know, human brain has different ways of communicating.
Right.
You know, emotion is communicated in a different way than you have generally in many areas of speech. Mm-hmm. There's a feeling involved. So if you can broaden the communication with your bot, then you can have a much greater value from the bot. But again, the other concern is that will it then affect your emotion? So the AI is a slippery slope
yes.
in terms of what it can do from a positive point of view, but also if you get information back, how do you know it's correct?
Exactly. And it could play upon your emotions and actually deceive you. In fact, just yesterday, I heard a report about a young boy who had somehow been deeply moving in the direction with some sort of technology, AI bots or so on. And ultimately, the bot told him he should go out and kill his mother.
Yeah. So, you know, so again, but the reality, though, is AI is coming. So we can modify AI. We can slow it down some. But we're also in a race. This is not just the U.S. versus the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
China is really highly focused on AI, and in some areas they're ahead of the U.S. already.
Really?
So, for example, basically what they do with smartphones is more expensive than we do here because they've got better 5G bandwidth. So I've been in China five times this year so far, and so I know a lot about what they're doing on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
But the autonomous driving capabilities in China right now is better than we have here. And
all right, so you believe that China is actually leading the AI revolution?
Well, in data centers, no. If you look at what OpenAI is doing, what Microsoft is doing, they're a couple of years ahead of China. But in some of the edge devices, like the smartphones, in terms of the autonomous driving, in terms of logistics and so on, yeah, China is ahead. But in terms of the core technology, in terms of the LLMs and so on, the data center capabilities, China does not have an NVIDIA, for example. China does not have, you know, that kind of capability.
Mm-hmm.
But in other areas, they are potentially ahead. And it's an area of high level of emphasis because of the digitization of China. But it's a race. So again, from a U.S. point of view, we have to continue to lead. And then we have to continue to provide guidance in terms of where AI can benefit and where AI can cause damage.
So which is more threatening, the former race toward nuclear domination or the race toward AI domination? I mean, you have a chapter in your book called Smart Warfare, the Emerging Digital Battlefield. It sounds like that may actually supersede even the nuclear.
Of course. It's going to be much more powerful because with nuclear, you can actually monitor. You can basically have, nuclear is mainly between governments and so on. But AI can be within a corporation. It can be within an individual. You can't measure sometimes you can't monitor data coming into you. So if you have a smartphone and you have a connection, who knows what data is coming in? How do you monitor it?
Wow.
And then how would that data impact, as you mentioned earlier, your mental condition?
Wow.
So it's much more dangerous and much more, obviously, it's much more powerful in terms of what it's going to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the term open AI. What did you mean by that?
Oh, that's a company that basically has developed a generative AI
right.
algorithm. which has really accelerated adoption of AI in many areas. So the original technology was developed by Google. It's called Transformer.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't exploit it that effectively, but OpenAI, Sam Altman and his team have done a brilliant job of optimizing it and then applying it to specific tasks. And, of course, Microsoft is their key partner.
All right. So in reality, AI, artificial intelligence, can be a wonderful tool, but it can also be an extremely dangerous and destructive tool.
Exactly.
So how do you corral this when you're already telling us that it can't be corralled? That it, you know, individuals can have their own sources of artificial intelligence that they can command through their cell phones. It almost seems like everybody on the world is able to, shall we say, operate their own drone for maximum destruction across the world.
So Apple is starting to promote AI now on their smartphones. And some of the initial stuff is fairly primitive.
Uh-huh.
But there has to be some kind of filter that you can only accept data from specific sources.
Mm. But so then somebody's going to hack on that, just like they do on other digital sources, and so the danger multiplies.
Well, that's why I think we have to have, you know, a government policy. Again, I'm not really a strong believer in government and wisdom of government.
Right.
But I think we have to have national policies to protect us against, and we have to develop algorithms to protect us against this type of data. So this is the beginning stage of AI. You know, basically we can talk about AI starting in 2016 and so on, the real AI. But the reality has come about in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
So the muscle power basically happened over 200 years. So now we have to look at a time period of 20 years.
Right. It's amazing the speed at which all of this is increasing. If you were to go back to the Old Testament, in the book of Daniel, it talks about one of the characteristics of the end of the age would be that knowledge would increase so exponentially, you wouldn't be able to keep up with it. And that's exactly what AI is actually capable of, isn't it?
Exactly. So you really have to also think about changing the education system,
mm-hmm.
because what children learn today will be available, as you mentioned, in your butt. So what's going to be important is the ability to access that information, but have the understanding of, is the information reasonably correct, and being able to check where the information is correct. So the education system has to change and to adapt to the ability of operating within the AI environment.
Well, let me ask you a question. Given all of this reliance, increasing reliance upon artificial intelligence, we already know that instructors, high school, college, university instructors are dealing with people, kids, students who are trying to write term papers via AI instead of doing it themselves. And then they have to try to ferret out the reality of that. But is this actually leading to a situation where we can't even think? We have to rely upon externals in order to think for us?
It's going to be a different way of thinking. You know, basically, when I was in school, we did arithmetic. Now you have a calculator.
Right.
But in this case, it's going to be much more ability to check information, also to think abstractly, and to be able to think in terms of, you know, in terms of absorbing or being able to monitor and look at a large amount of information.
Mm-mm-mm.
So it's going to require a very different way of thinking.
Right.
So what we have done is we've actually looked at the education system in the U.S. and the education system in China, and they're diverging quite a bit in the sense that in China, children start learning how to code with a computer at 4 and 5. And mm-hmm. there's a fairly intensive selection process based on what would be IQ. And of course, a lot of children get left behind when you do that.
Right.
You tend to breed basically a group of children, a large population of children, who then are highly skilled within the computer data environment.
Wow.
So I think that's a major concern that I have in terms of what's going to be happening based on AI in the next 10 years, 20 years.
Well, that's particularly true since in the West, and particularly in America, we're dumbing down our kids. And in the East, in Korea and China and so on, Japan, they're actually intensifying education. So
That
itself can radically change which area of the world is going to dominate in the area of AI. Friends, I want to make this fascinating book available to you. We could only barely touch on this here on the program today. But it's a $28 hardbound book. It's yours for $25 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Again, it's called When AI Rules the World. And I urge you to get a copy of it because we need to understand the dynamics of what are taking place. And Handel Jones is the guy who knows it. In fact, I'm looking at a set of promotional materials concerning his book coming from leaders around the world. And here's one. Handel Jones sharpens the growing divergence between the U.S. and China's AI strategy. Another, in the near future, wars will be fought not over land but over data. Unbelievable. AI is already transforming the world, says another. It's moved from science fiction to something that is deeply reshaping all industries and the way we live and work. When AI Rules the World is a must read, said the president and CEO of ST Microelectronics. So the book, again, When AI Rules the World, $25 on our website, saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. That's 1-800-SAVE-USA. Or write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Writing a check at $6 for postage and handling. And Benedetto Vigna, the CEO of Ferrari. Any of you are fast movers out there with your Ferraris? He says this is the century of AI. At the end of this century, all industries, including automotive, will be different. If you want to know the opportunities and threats of AI, if you want to understand how AI will rule the world and define the new political balance of the world, then read this book. I don't know how much stronger it can get than that. When AI Rules the World, friend, again, on our website, saveus.org. Okay. It's overwhelming to me, Handel, to try to comprehend the true nature of this. Perhaps if I were 40 years younger, the wiring in my brain would be a little different and more conducive to understanding AI. But I do understand its import and am able to ask questions, I think, that are probative of both the hope and the horror that we can face with it. Now, you talked already about health care, smart health care, we've already dealt with this with China. How in the world is AI going to help us with another pandemic when, indeed, much of what took place was actually through deception?
Well, what AI can do in terms of, and the hospitals in California are starting to work on this.
Uh-huh.
They can basically help you with your diet in terms of what nutrition you need. They can help monitor your body in real time.
All right.
With the fitness trackers and so on. So the contention is that with the right diet, with the right health monitoring, and prediction of potential illnesses, diseases, people can live significantly longer, and also their brain capability can also be extended.
All right. Well, let me ask you a question before we go into the break. Hold on to the answer till after the break. Are we looking at AI actually leading us to develop eternal life? We'll be right back after this, friends. Don't think that question is out of the realm, because indeed there are those who believe that. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries
on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, SaveUS.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at SaveUS.org.
In my book, Messiah, Unveiling the Mystery of the Ages, there's an entire chapter dealing with scientific salvation. That's what it's called. And if you were to read that chapter, you would understand that the statement that I made just before the break is actually resonating in the minds and hearts of many scientists. Indeed, they believe that we're heading inevitably toward a situation where we will be developing, in fact, a form of eternal life. Now, can AI lead us that way, or can it deceive us into the thinking we're going to that direction and actually, as Mark Zuckerberg said, actually lead us to believe we're becoming God? Handel, what do you say about that?
Well, I think there are two or three parts of it. One is basically the physical conditioning, replacing organs and so on. I'm not an expert on that, but I think that it's clearly clear that the longevity of most people can be extended.
And
the effectiveness of the brain power of most people can be extended. But the other part is...
How quickly can you bring that about for me?
the other part, though, is that with your digital twin, basically your thoughts, your memories, basically, your personality can be included in that digital twin.
Mm-mm.
So the digital twin can last forever. So you can have basically a mirror image of you, which can basically be part of the of your heritage. Of course, that mirror image cannot think logically or cannot come up with creative ideas. But basically, from that point of view, there is potential for longevity.
So in other words, it's very much like what you might call a digital resurrection.
Exactly. That's a very good terminology. Yeah. Better than I could say.
Right. Wow. That's exactly what I wrote about in that book, Messiah, the chapter dealing with scientific salvation. That's exactly what they're saying. And, you know, people can say, oh, well, I don't need to have cryotherapy. I don't need to be frozen until all this is developed. It's developing so fast that I'll live forever. This is leading humankind into a kind of hubris, or as they say in Israel, chutzpah, that can be, it seems to me, be profoundly dangerous.
Yeah. And again, one can control what's in there, but also it can be controlled by others. So that's the concern that I have.
Uh-huh.
The power of what AI can do in terms of improving the capabilities of people, ability to analyze things and so on. But the concern is that if you are in a country, maybe not the U.S., where you have a leader who basically connects people and then influences their mood.
Uh-huh.
So the mood can be that of being happy, being complacent, or the mood can be that of wanting to fight.
So you won't need mood music anymore. You're going to have it built right into your mind, your thought patterns, and even interposed upon you artificially.
That's the danger.
And
so the positive side is basically when you become smarter, you can do more things and so on. Corporations can be more effective. But then the danger, the other side, is the ability of a dictator or somebody to basically control people. And how do you monitor that? If you have filters and so on, maybe. But if you don't have those filters, if it's a country where the dictator is ruthless, there's no way to maybe even know what's going on. And there's no way to reverse it without being, you know, part of the ecosystem.
You know, I was thinking also when you were talking about smart healthcare and so on, and digitally able through artificial intelligence to determine the best things for people to eat and influence their ability to live longer and longer and longer. Well, that would lead also to a kind of digital dictatorship, it seems to me, where both government and insurance companies would mandate through digital mandate a kind of dictatorship what you can eat, what you can't eat, and determine whether or not you're entitled to insurance based upon it.
Yeah. Those are kinds of things that can come out of the AI. So, again, if you look at the muscle power, you know, when you started with muscle power, basically it was very primitive. But then after 200 years, basically, look at what we have today.
Uh-huh.
And again, you couldn't imagine really what muscle power could give you. But AI is happening in 20 years or 10 years or 15 years, whatever it is. And again, it's going to be very difficult to fully imagine what AI will do, but then how society will respond. And to me, that's the biggest thing.
Absolutely.
Because, for example, in the U.S., there are very smart people, and basically they know AI very well, but 99% have no idea probably of what AI is going to do to them.
Exactly.
In the next 10 years.
Exactly. And the majority of the people aren't going to understand enough about it anyway. And only those who have the greater understanding, only those who have the control power out there are going to determine and actually dictate what's going to happen with humankind and the nations of the world. You know, I'm putting this in context. I began practicing law in Southern California there. You're in Central California, Los Gatos. But I began practicing law in 1975. And by 1981, I got my first computer. It was a vector graphic computer used. I paid $4,000 for it, and it was a monster. And in order to print anything out, it had to be printed in through a printer that was so noisy that we had to have a special baffling thing built for it so that we could even think straight when it printed. This was in 1981. Then I got my first cell phone, which was called the Brick, which is a Motorola. It weighed 3.5 pounds. And shortly thereafter, got my first, what do they call it? Anyway, not wasting more time on that. But putting it in perspective, since that moment in time, look what we carry in our hands today called cell phones or smartphones that are 100 times more powerful than that vector graphic computer that I had to run a law office with.
Yeah. And technology will continue to go at that pace. So a few years from now, you'll have smartphones that are 100 times more powerful than you have today.
Yeah.
And
well, let's talk about this area of transportation. We've got Elon Musk, who's supposed to be helping to streamline and help the government to run smoother and more efficiently. But he's creating cars that supposedly the Tesla, named after the famous electronics guy, Tesla, who these cars are supposed to be smart cars that can run on their own. They can steer, they can dodge, and yet they lead people into terrible accidents as well. What's the future of this AI situation with regard to our automobiles?
Well, I drive a Tesla.
Do you really?
And it's okay. But in terms of time,
it's okay.
Their technology is much better. They have LiDAR used extensively.
Mm-hmm.
And their plan is to have fully autonomous transportation of people and goods by 2035. So they already have quite a few robot taxis, and they basically are working okay. They have automated delivery of goods by small vans. They're autonomous. They have drones that are autonomous.
Unbelievable.
China is significantly ahead of the U.S. What's happening in China is the cities are going to be relayed out over time to split automobiles or transportation vehicles and people. So it's a commitment by the China government to basically... Now, what, the problem that they're going to have is what do they do with all those drivers? Because today you have delivery of people and goods by drivers. What will they do? What jobs will they give? So then there's also that side of the coin. AI.
Well, yeah, Bill Gates said we got to get rid of all the people. He wants to get rid of two-thirds of the population of the planet.
Well, we're going to have huge unemployment with AI. that's a fact of life.
So all those people are going to be replaced by bots?
Well, the answer in many cases, yes. I mean, you've seen the factories becoming highly automated. And basically, you know, but yeah, basically drivers will be replaced. Now, is it 2035?
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is 10 years from now. But the government in China is committed to building up the ecosystem. And here, basically, you know, we're moving, to my opinion, very slowly. So, when you compare China to the U.S., there's a significant difference in terms of trajectories. Mm-hmm. We see it in the education system we talked about.
Uh-huh.
We see it in transportation. Delivery of goods, you know, I think Amazon is brilliant. But again, China has the same kind of capability. And of course, what do you do in terms of if you've got this autonomous capability for drones, for automobiles, what do you then do in war? Do you need people in war? Or is it going to be just machines?
Well, I can see a world in which everything is virtually droned to death. If you're making your deliveries via drones, how many millions of drones can you afford to have? There's no air control system that's going to be able to control millions of drones that are being operated by individual companies and individuals out there. And you never know if one's carrying a missile, whether one's carrying some sort of a Molotov cocktail or just a nice package from Amazon.
Yeah. So you can see the potential
increase
in productivity. You can see how it's going to change employment. But then you also build in the risks. So how do you manage those risks?
Yeah.
But again, all the advances in technologies have both commercial use and also military use.
And therein lies the multiplied danger. Let's talk about that a little bit more when we get back from this upcoming break. When AI rules the world, friends, this is a fascinating, fascinating hardbound book. Handel Jones, the author, our guest today. It's a $28 book. Here's for $25 on our website, saveus.org. That's saveus.org. Give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. You're not going to be disappointed, I think. It's fascinating. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Is God going to replace independent disciples out there to pass the message of the truth and the gospel out there and replace them with AI bots that are flying all over the world? It's fascinating, friends, the trajectory that these things are taking, and to be warned is to be forearmed, that we need to have our own lives in order, because deception, massive deception, is around the corner, just as Jesus warned. Now, we go into our guest today, Handel Jones, had talked about the great danger of warfare, the military aspect of this, and I agree. We've talked about that a bit already. There are some other areas that I think it would be helpful for us to talk about. For instance, the area of virtual reality. When you talk about artificial intelligence, how is that related to the term virtual reality?
Well, virtual reality puts you into, as it mentions, into a different world. And you need some devices to do that. So these devices are headsets.
Mm-hmm.
And the ones we have so far show the benefits or some of the capabilities of virtual reality, but they're not really compelling. And but I think in the next 4 to 5 years, I think we'll have headsets from different companies that will be comfortable and will provide a much better user experience.
Well, what's the difference between virtual reality and augmented reality then?
Well, one is where you can perceive what's going on in the outside world around you. The other one is you're basically enclosed within the virtual world. But the virtual world can be very comforting. Basically, you know, if you don't have job opportunities, if you don't have employment, going into the virtual world can actually, it's probably what's going to be happening to millions of people in the next 10, 15, 20 years. And it's actually a better environment to be in than to be on drugs.
In other words, it's a pretense of an environment. It's a false environment.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I want to repeat to you some words of this. This came about 25 years ago. I was flying across the country and had a layover there in Southern California. And as I was sitting there in the airport, across from me was a guy. We engaged in conversation. He identified himself as an international engineer for the Sony Corporation. And he was just fascinating. And he said, you know what? He said, there's going to come a time. Now, remember, this 25 years ago. There's going to come a time when we won't need headsets. We're not going to need phone instruments anymore. They're going to all be implants. And as he's talking, without even stopping a beat, he said, and the time is coming when we will be God. That's what he said. Those are his exact words. It took me by surprise. But when we talk about virtual reality, we talk about augmented reality, it sounds like sort of an implantation of an alternative reality that can be so deceptive to human beings that they will be conformable to some power structure out there that has the ability to, shall we say, control that virtual reality.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. So you can be, you know, you can be doing games, you can be sitting on the beach in Hawaii, you can choose maybe some of the locations, you can choose what you do, you can. You can study. There are many things you can do within the virtual reality world. But again, the other side of the coin is if somebody's controlling that, again, they can basically make you into a zombie. They can make you. So these, again, are the risks associated with AI. But the point, though, is that there will be mass unemployment because of AI.
Mm-mm.
Again, we won't need drivers. Again, is it 2035 in China? Is it 2040? But this is within the lifetime of many of us. So again,
so what's China going to do with its 1.3 billion people? What's India going to do with its 1.6 billion people? Together, those two countries alone take up about two-fifths of the entire planet.
Well, today you have high unemployment of young people, you know, graduates and so on in a number of countries. China is getting a lot of publicity. We also have some of the same problems here.
Yep.
We have some problems in Japan. We have problems in India. So again, yeah, this is another issue that has to be faced when you have virtual reality, and it's coming in very fast.
So it would be the destabilization of society all over the world.
But if you give them virtual reality headsets and control how they think, then they can be in their own world, right?
Okay. Wow. This is leading into a world of a Frankenstein world, I think. All right, let's talk about this matter of 5G wireless. Everybody wanted a 5G. 5G this, 5G that, 5G. Now I understand it's gone to 10G, hasn't it?
Well, right now we're seeing 5.5G. But in reality, we don't really have what is viewed as real 5G in the U.S. because we have 5G with high latency. Other countries have 5G with low latency, so they can use 5G, for example, for control of vehicles and so on. But China is developing 5.5G right now, and what 5.5G will do will allow you to have, for example, 3D images on your television, your smartphone, without glasses. And then 6G is being developed. 6G is going to be a really tough though, because it's going to involve combining terrestrial, basically base stations and also satellites. So I think 6G is a few years away, maybe 2035, not 2030.
All right. Well, is that going to lead us into a fourth dimension?
Yeah.
Or as they wrote back in the 1960s with the song, "These Are the Days of Aquarius," is it going to be the fifth dimension that we're led into through all of this AI?
Well, I think if we have four dimensions, that's going to be quite a bit. But again, I think the whole thing, though, with AI, you have the data analysis, but then the ability to control people. And that's a major concern that I have. But I think a lot of other people have the same concern, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
How is it going to impact people's thinking? How is it going to impact people's way of operating? And
right.
then the power that people who are expert in AI have over people who have no clue about what AI is.
So what do you think is the president's new czar, AI, and what's he called? Yeah, the crypto czar, AI and crypto czar. What's he going to be able to do in reality to prevent the horror aspect of AI hope?
Well, obviously he's very smart, and he's a really smart guy. And I think he understands what's going on very well. And of course, Musk is very close to him and so on. But yeah, the only thing that I think they can do right now is to accelerate the development of AI so the U.S. doesn't fall behind.
Uh-huh.
And basically coordinate activities, but then also provide the ability to do encryption, basically to have standards for encryption,
uh-huh.
to basically have standards for filtering, how to manage the data. So I think that's something they can do.
Mm.
But I think the other part is also, as I mentioned, education system has to change. We have to go through a major change in how people think, how people understand AI. And so I think having an effective government can be of value. But to be honest with you, most government approaches do not produce good results because they tend to be very biased according
right.
to specific doctrines.
Well, and therein lies the danger for smart warfare, as you call it, the emerging digital battlefield. Each has their own agenda. And when you look at what's really taking place in our world, whether it's the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab talking for by 2030, the Great Reset, whether it's the United Nations Agenda 2030, everything is moving toward that direction, which is about a global government. Even the Pope is supporting a global government. How is it going to be composed? Well, what you're introducing are factors that are so almost bizarre, in a sense, that they're uncontrollable. No matter how much you try to control them, knowing human nature, they become uncontrollable. Would that be a fair statement?
I think there would be pockets where they definitely are uncontrollable, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
again, and there are two parts of it also, is if you're behind, that puts you at a huge disadvantage.
Yeah, I can see that too.
Yeah. So there are different pockets of benefits from AI, but you can see also the danger. And again,
right.
the issue that's important here is the rate at which things are progressing. You know, you mentioned the smartphone and so on, but the technology advances are accelerated. And again,
yeah.
you know, I'm in Silicon Valley, and here we have some brilliant people, and what they're doing in terms of AI within a few months is fairly dramatic.
Right. The Internet of Things, what does that really mean?
Well, connectivity. Basically, the ability to for people to communicate their thoughts, ideas, as well as the information. And, of course, AI puts intelligence or puts the lack of intelligence or puts basically the ability to provide bias in terms of Internet of Things.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, again, I think the ability to communicate that we have in terms of Internet of Things is brilliant. But AI now puts another level of capabilities within that connectivity environment.
All right. This is tremendous information. It's fascinating. No question about it. It's actually frightening as well. So what would you, Handel, what would you say to our listeners here today saying, okay, this is what's happening. This is the development. What would you say to them to prepare or to respond to in some way so that this doesn't overtake them, take them unawares, and become a horrorscape rather than hope?
So study AI and try and understand as much as you can regarding AI, and then become aware of the benefits, but also become aware of the risk, and then be hopefully through the voting system and the system we have in the U.S., become part of influencing what we do in the future.
Mm-mm-mm.
But the key thing is to really understand the opportunities, threats, and so on.
Uh-huh.
But AI, we can't stop it. And if we you know, even slowing it down as risks.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like saying that you could stop the nuclear development. They talked about nuclear proliferation. They want to slow that down. But then again, nuclear can destroy massively, but it also runs massive ships for 25 years without any fuel other than nuclear. So there are tremendous benefits and tremendous dangers that are associated with just about anything.
And if you look at electricity also, as what has electricity done for us in terms of modern society? And AI would be electricity plus.
Hmm. Do you have kids?
Yes.
And what are they doing with all this AI?
Well, one just finished Harvard. The other one is actually grandkids. One is in Harvard right now.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to have them understand how they have to become part of the AI ecosystem.
Uh-huh. Well, you've got your challenges on your hands. We all do. And I'm so grateful that you've come on the program here today to talk about this. I think we've covered an awful lot of ground, certainly understanding for those of us who are not so gifted in the deeper understanding of where all this is going. And I appreciate so much your sharing with us, Handel. I guess you had to be brought over here from Wales to open our eyes to what's really taking place. Friends, get a copy of the book, When AI Rules the World, China, the U.S., The Race to Control a Smart Planet. I think you're going to find it fascinating. And it's $25 on our website, saveus.org, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at $6 for postage and handling. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friends, to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Go to the website, saveus.org. And we need to get informed, get prepared. Do it today.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.